This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, We Serve a Great God, and was recorded in May of 2020.
So this morning, we're going to share some announcements and prayer requests with you, and then we'll be going into the sermon. Psalm 145, we serve a great God. Let's go to prayer. Father God, we know that we are a needy people. We know, Lord, that you have sent your Son into this world to deal with our sin nature. We know, Lord, that we are weak and that we have a tendency to do the wrong thing. But you are a loving God, a forgiving God, and your love and forgiveness were expressed on Calvary through Christ, your Son and our Savior. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us. We thank you for the fellowship of believers. Lord, we know how hard it is to be absent that fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that that voice broadcasting has enabled us to be able to come together like this, gathered around the Word. But we know that, Lord, there's a big hole in our heart that feels the absence of the hugs of one another, the well wishes of one another, the prayers of one another, just be able to see one another's face, Lord, and to be in worship together. We miss that, Lord, and we just pray that this will soon pass. We thank you, Father, for your precious word that we sit and study on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and I thank you for all of those who are interested to know more about their faith who join us. We thank you and pray this morning, Lord, that the sermon will touch folks' heart and mind. We pray, Father, that some need will be met this morning, some place that somebody has that sense that they need a special touch from the Lord, that might happen this morning. We pray for all of those who were named a little while ago who need your healing touch. Lord, we know that you're still healing folks. We know it's not through the divine, that through the healing touch of a person. It's through the divine touch of your Holy Spirit that you do that. And we know, Lord, that we don't dictate to you as to how you would heal. You use the doctors, you use medication, you use physical therapy, you use surgery, you use physical therapy, I said earlier. You use so many different modes to heal us and touch us, and you have given wisdom to the doctors and the therapists and the scientists to be able to open up their mind to heal through your intervention, Lord. And so we pray for this particular disease that's got so many folks in a panic attack and so much filled with fear. We pray for those aspects of this pandemic also, Lord. And I pray for any on the line this morning who are anxious or fearful or any who may have had this illness, we pray for healing, Lord, and your healing touch. For those who are hurting spiritually or emotionally this morning, Father, I pray your blessing upon them. I pray that you would touch them in a special way this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your care for each and every one of us from day to day. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, just one word about my procedure that was supposed to happen on Friday and didn't. I know a lot of calls were coming in as to what happened. Well, what happened was that I had gone for a test to determine if I had the virus, and I was given an antibody test, which is a blood test. And the antibody test demonstrated that I did not have the disease ever, and I did not have it when the test was given. So armed with that, the doctor allowed me to go up to the hospital, which is up in Morristown. And when I got there, I registered, filled in all the necessary paperwork, was sitting down in the waiting room, waiting to go into the place where I was to be prepared for this, for the heart catheterization, and I found out that the test I got was not the test that the hospital wanted. They wanted the test where they go up my nose, and so they wouldn't accept the other test, which is eminently better, according to the cardiologist. All well and good. So Monday, I'm going to get a nose job. They're going to go up my nose with this with this Q-tip or whatever it is and do some drilling. So be prepared for that. And so Friday will be the actual procedure, and I covet your prayers for that. Friday, it looks like 10 o'clock. Thank you so much. And now let's go on to more important things. We serve a great God. If you have your Bibles open, and please keep them open if you do, Psalm 145, it reads, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy glorious works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. That word terrible means glorious, amazing. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies, look at that, his tender, not just mercy, the tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory, of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This was written by King David, and it is said to be his favorite psalm. It's titled David's Psalm of Praise. So this morning, I'd like to focus on those portions that point us to the fact that we serve a great God. I'm not going to do all 21 verses, but we're going to focus on a few. So verse 1, David says, Jehovah, he is my God. My God. What two important words. He's not the God of organized religion. He's not the God of a particular denomination. He's not the state-certified or registered God as they have in China. He is your God. He is a personal and intimate God. He's not the God away out there. He's the God that lives and is alive in you. He is. We can say this as believers. He is my God. Think of that. The God of the universe. Atheists, so outspoken these days, and they say God is not great. Meanwhile, you've got the followers of the Quran who say God is great. But the God of the Quran is not the God of the Bible. Our God is great, and we're going to see that as we go along here. He is my God. You can claim him as your personal God and your personal Lord and Savior. Verse 1 continues, God says, David says, God is his king. So David is a king, and he's saying that God is his king. And the reality is that all are subject to the sovereign God of the Bible. Every single person on the planet. He's the God of the king. He's the God of the king's servants. He's the God of the rich. He's the God of the poor. The God of the insider. And he's the God of what some people consider themselves to be outsiders. Here's a story. Malcolm Diamond, an amiable and well-respected elderly African-American who had been highly successful in business, decided he wanted to become a member of an Episcopal church near his home. He called on the pastor of this fashionable church and expressed his desire. My dear fellow, said the rector, I don't think you would be happy here. You would be the most uncomfortable among my people, and I'm afraid it would be quite embarrassing to you, and perhaps to them. I suggest you pray and meditate and see if God does not give you some direction. This is the pastor. A week later, Diamond met him on the street. Reverend, he announced, I took your advice, and I prayed and meditated, and finally God sent me word. He said I shouldn't bother anymore trying to join your church. God said he's been trying to get in there for years without any success. Sunday, every godless dictator, terrorist, rapist, murderer, and child molester will bow before this God in judgment. He alone is worthy of our praise, adoration, and worship. In verse 2, King David says he blesses and praises the Lord every day, every day. This is not a Sunday thing. A growing, maturing relationship with Christ is not just about one day a week. It's not about Christmas. It's not about Easter. The Sunday only for 1 hour brand of Christianity is not a relationship. It's an event. It's something you do. It's someplace you go. God doesn't want that. God wants a relationship with us. What kind of a relationship would it be if you were with your spouse or children or family only 1 hour a week? Spiritual growth comes when we make a conscious effort to do what David did every day. Like he says in verse 1, to exalt God, to praise God, to bless and praise his name, and speak of his glorious works to the people around us. There are no secret agent Christians. We're supposed to be up front and out front with our faith. Doesn't mean that we go and shake people the minute we see them. Doesn't mean we shove our faith down people's throats. It means we wait for a moment in time when we're with people and they say something, oh, life is so hard. I'm so sick of this pandemic. I don't understand it. I'm growing so tired. Opportunity to share the love of God and what he has done for you during this time. Verse 3, David tells us the Lord is great. His greatness, he says, is unsearchable. It means it never ends. There's no depth to it. It is so deep, you can't get to the bottom of it. He writes that God's greatness is visible by his mighty acts and his wondrous works. What does that mean? There's a verse, Hebrews 1:10. And it said, Thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Think about the beauty of creation. I said earlier, as we opened up, this is such a beautiful day here in Hunterdon County. It's going to be cool temperatures. The sun is brilliant. I can see flowers outside the window, beautiful colors around. We see the beauty of creation all around us in springtime. Variety, diversity of creation, all living things demonstrate an amazingly complex design. It demonstrates life was not born out of chaos and chance. Rather, life was born on this planet out of order and intelligence. God is in the details. And your whole life, your whole physicality, is chemistry and math. It is so intricate. We see God's fingerprints even in the highly complex single cell. So for people who think, you know, just with millions of years or billions of years, and we came out of some immortal soup and from mud and water and time, and no. We see the great, amazing power of created nation, of nature, to wash away all human efforts with a wave or a blast of wind, and in a moment a city is destroyed. God uses the power of nature. People often ask this question, the storms and what's all that about. God uses the power of nature to reveal our weakness, to reveal the fragile hold that we have on life, to remind us of his awesome power, and to point us to the Lord in times of desperation and despair. When tough times come, we can either say, there can't possibly be a God for these things to happen. Well, there is a God, and these are all part of what his nature is about. When God created this planet, he gave us a garden. We rejected it. So perfection is not what God is after. Verses 8 and 9, the Lord is great in mercy, compassion, kindness, forgiveness. His mercy is demonstrated by his patience with a rebellious humanity. For example, saying one nation under God is unconstitutional? Come on. Prayer in school is unconstitutional? Displaying a nativity scene is unconstitutional? Displaying the Ten Commandments is unconstitutional, but killing the unborn is constitutional? Vulgarity, obscenity, blasphemy, pornography is constitutional? When Israel demanded a human king, the prophet Samuel was distressed. But God reminded him, quote, "They haven't rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me." When we see this kind of stuff going on, where this is basically a rejection of God, his word, that there is truth and there are absolutes, when we see that, we're really seeing God being rejected. Verse 8, God's great mercy allows him to be slow to anger with an arrogant people. Oftentimes we wonder, why doesn't God just destroy it all? Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he take out that person? Because one of his attributes found here in this psalm, and one of the things that makes him great, is that he's filled with mercy. He's filled with goodness. He's slow to anger. He doesn't just send the lightning bolt to crash and destroy things. Verses 7 and 9. God's greatness is demonstrated by his goodness. He's good to all, the verse says. That goodness is expressed by what Ephesians 2:4 calls his great love, wherewith he loved us. How much does God love us? Well, the wonderful verse that most people know, and you may, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And John 15:13, Jesus says, "Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I call you my friends." God's great goodness is made visible by what Hebrews 12:3 calls so great a salvation. This great salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. This great salvation is a free gift to anyone who will receive it. A free gift, by definition, cannot be earned. Is not ours because of what we've done, but what Jesus did on the cross. This great salvation is not being part of the right religion or the right church or in the right pew. Rather, it's about a relationship with the right person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12 says, "He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life." Do you have Jesus in your heart? Have you confessed to Jesus that you're a sinner and you're in need of repentance and forgiveness? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sin? Have you asked him to come into your heart and into your life? Did you tell him you want to follow him? Did you tell him you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was in a grave for 3 days, and rose again? If you believe that with all your heart, if you believe that and ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you, he will. God is no respecter of persons. His great salvation is for you. His goodness is expressed in Psalm 119, verse 165, as the great peace which he extends to the believer. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Peace is so elusive. Finding true love is elusive, and finding peace can be elusive, especially during these times. But it's always been like that. Listen to the famous author H.G. Wells. Who wrote War of the Worlds. He wrote these words, "Here I am at 65, still seeking for peace." A man like that, with all his intellect, and he's still looking to find peace in his life. Billy Graham wrote these words, "Christ alone can bring lasting peace, peace with God, peace among people and nations, and peace within our hearts." God's great goodness is expressed in verse 14, as "the Lord upholdeth all that fall." when the believer backslides, when the believer sins, when the believer falls, and when the believer fails. God doesn't abandon us. Do we suffer consequences of our sin? Of course. Will we have to give an account of our service and our works and our words before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? Of course. Will unconfessed or covered up sin make us feel alienated from God? Of course. But in His great mercy and in His great goodness, He stands there with His arms wide open to receive you unto Himself and to forgive us when we confess and repent and make retribution for our sin. He's always ready to welcome you back. He's always ready to forgive you of your sin. There's nothing that you've ever done in your life that is so bad that He won't forgive you. That's a big statement, but that's a statement straight from Scripture, and it's the truth. So if you've been holding back on asking God's forgiveness for something because you believe He won't, He will. The promise that He's made, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that all, A-L-L, encompasses everything that you've ever done in your life. Don't be afraid to ask for forgiveness. Be ready. Verse 14 says, He raises up all those that are bowed down. Are you bound down, bent down by the trials and rigors of life? Has pessimism overpowered your optimism? Has life become dull and routine? Are you fearful or tearful? Has someone or something stolen your joy? Don't allow these negatives or other aspects of life to take your eyes off Jesus. Don't allow yourself to lose sight of your great God. Your God and King is the God of great goodness. He is the God of great mercy and grace. He is the God of great salvation. He's the God of great peace. He's the God of great unfailing love. Praise Him. We willingly love and serve the great God. A little story entitled Great or Small, and I'll close with it. A well-known English deist, that's somebody who believes that, yes, God created everything, but then He walked away, round up the clock, and left us to ourselves. The well-known English deist, Anthony Collins, of the 17th century, was walking one day when he crossed paths with a very common man. "Where are you going?" he asked. "To church, sir." "What are you going to do there?" "Worship God, sir." "Is your God a great or a little God?" he asked. "He's both, sir." "How can He be both?" "He is so great, sir, that the heaven of heavens cannot contain. And He's so little that He can dwell in my heart." Collins later declared that this simple answer had more effect on his mind than all the volumes he ever read about God and all the lectures he ever heard. You have a great God. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe and small enough to live within your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for your precious words this morning. Not my words, your words, right out of Scripture, to enlighten us, to encourage us, to challenge us. Pray, Father, that folks were touched. I pray, Lord, if there were questions that came up as a result of this, that the answers might come from your Holy Spirit and your Word. Thank you for our time together. We pray, Father, that you bless us in this day and help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. God bless you. Look forward to calling you on Wednesday night and next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.